My objective this morning is to bring us to higher levels of freedom, because ever since I've been coming here, I've been going to higher levels of freedom. And one of the things that I think gets involved is an obstacle in growing has to do with our mindset when it comes to serving God. And that's one of the things I wanted to tackle this morning. But before I get started, I just want to tell you two quick stories. So I heard this this story once about a guy who wanted to get closer to God. So he said, "I think I should be praying more," right? It's a good thing, right? So he said, "First, I'm going to pray for my family." So he went through, you know, his wife, his children, his mother and father, all his aunts and uncles, cousins. Then he started praying for his friends, and he goes, "You know, I think I should be praying for more. You know, God says that we should be concerned about our city, so I'm going to start praying for my city." So he started praying for the town officials and those. Then he got the phone book and opened up the phone book and started going through and praying for everything. Yeah. Before he knew it, it was taking hours and hours and hours, and he couldn't get anything else done, right? So part of that little story is like, all right, where do you put the end of it? You know, like, when is it good enough? When have you done enough? You know, that's a question I think that we all kind of like struggle with, you know. The other story I'm going to tell you about is perhaps the most spiritual man I ever knew, a person in my life, was my grandfather. My grandfather is result, really, because of him, I'm here today, and countless others through our whole family, because back in the 1920s, he gave his heart to Jesus Christ and as Lord and Savior, and that changed generations, and now even grandchildren are serving God because of the decision he made. And he was such a humble, calm man, and so full of the Spirit of God. But every once in a while, he would go into these, like, I would say even like a depression. He was like, "I heard so many messages in my life. I was exposed to so many great preachers. I should be, you know, further or better than what I'm at." And I'm like, "Ah, I don't know what you're talking about, because, you know, you're pretty good to me." You know, I mean, he was like really, and everybody he spoke to, he would always encourage them. He would say, "Jesus loved you," and he would share with them. But there were times where he felt he wasn't good enough. You know, so I titled this message, you know, "The Journey of Life," because life is a journey, right? We are on a journey, and it's a privilege, and we get to make decisions every day on what we want to do, how we want to think, where we're going to go, and what we're going to believe, right? That too, and that's I think something that even the angels admire, and they kind of, when they look at it, like they kind of look at us in awe, because we, you know, our lives are finite on this planet, and we have a certain amount of time to make these decisions before we go into eternity. So, I titled this message "The Journey of Life: Progress, Not Perfection," and I think this is a pretty good thing to get a hold of. So, I'm going to take us through a couple things and kind of unpack this a little bit. So, I call it the stronghold of not being good enough. I mean, and if everybody here can improve, right? I mean, everybody, anybody who ever took a breath, other than Jesus, right, on this planet, could improve at one point in time, and we're constantly growing and improving. Are you better off now than you were last year? I mean, are you closer to God? Have you taken steps? Have you taken strides over your life? You know, I think that, you know, we all can say that, and we all have gone a certain level, you know, and we of course, got more to go, but I think we have to, you know, celebrate progress, right? And not perfection, because when we start looking at perfection, and I'm not good enough, and when my grandfather started feeling that way, I bet you after he felt that way, he would have been less prone to tell somebody about God. He would have been less prone to encourage somebody or to have someone else, you know, to fill their cup, you know? And that's not a very good thing. So, you know, the stronghold of not being good enough, feeling like you haven't got there, you're not with the place where you should be, I think can really stop you from growing, and even can stop you from trying too. I'll give you, in the new year, everybody makes New Year's resolutions. I want to exercise more or whatever. And people start out like gangbusters. And, you know, in the gyms, like I remember at work, when there was the gym at work where I used to work. And like I go throughout the year. And then on January, you know, I'm talking to some of the regulars. I'm like, "Wait and see, you know, next week the gym's going to be full." And sure enough, it's full. And then it goes into February, and then it peters out. And then before you know it, it's back to the regular crowd, you know, that's there all the time. But you know, it's something that, you know, people I think they when they make these, I'm going to do this, they want to be all in. And if they're not doing it, somebody who's been doing it for 20, 30 years, you know, I mean, you're not going to be at that same level. It's going to take you a while to make it a habit and to have the memory to continue to do it and to really make it a habit. Same thing goes with spiritual growth. If you're comparing yourself to somebody who's been serving God for 30 years, I mean, that shouldn't be, you're not going to be able to get to that level like in a day or a week. I mean, it takes time, and it's a little by little steps, right? Beating yourself up when you don't live up, and it tends to play into a works-based religion or faith, you know. And we don't have a works-based faith. We live by faith, right? We walk by faith, and we do things out of love of God, not to please Him, but to honor Him, right? Because of the relationship we have with Him, we can't earn His love. His love is given. So works are a result of our love, not to earn His love. So beating yourself up is not a healthy thing to do when you are looking at it. So I want to look at some examples in the Bible. Anybody ever hear of a guy by the name of John Mark, right? So, hey, you know, our view sometimes of the apostles and, you know, the early followers of Jesus is that these guys were perfect guys and everything was rosy and there was never any arguments or discussions or disagreements among them. Wrong. Here's a good example right here. So in Acts 15, this guy John Mark, right? This is about him partly. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it was wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. These are guys, you know, who started the reason why we're here, who turned the world upside down, and they had disagreements among themselves. And this, because Paul was looking down at John Mark because he left them, he abandoned. I guess they were on some type of mission trip of some sort, and he must have, like, you know, whatever, got homesick or who knows what, but he just bolted and he took off. And of course, Paul didn't like that, and that's not a good thing to do. But Barnabas, who's called the son of encouragement, right, he wanted to try to encourage John Mark, get him back on the rails, right? And that's something that we should do. But Paul was like, no way, I'm going to go in a different way. And they had this sharp disagreement. Can you imagine the disciples? You know, I mean, we think that they did everything perfectly. And this should be a lesson for us. I mean, it's okay to have disagreements. It doesn't mean we can't have fellowship with one another. And we're not always going to see things eye to eye. But what we have to do is to continue to go on. Well, what happened later in the story, in the book of Colossians, you know, everybody likes a comeback story, right? John Mark made a comeback. He made a comeback. And in Colossians 4:10, this is Paul writing, the same guy who said he didn't want him to be on the come on a trip with him and disagreed sharply, right, with Barnabas. He said, my fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. So that's Mark. That's John Mark, right? The same guy who he didn't want to come. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. So John Mark is now a comfort to Paul, you know, because Barnabas sowed seeds into him, filled his bucket, and encouraged him, got him back on the rails. So you could see, we take the "you made a mistake" type of thing and I'm not good enough, you know, John Mark stays home and this might not have been able to happen, and Paul might not have been able to say he was a co-worker in the kingdom of God, right? So that's one example. Here's another example. What about Peter? Look at Luke 22. And a little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, "Certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out weeping bitterly. Now, if that was the end of the story, that would have been not a good story, right? But we know what happened to Peter. So even Peter, who is called the rock, right? Jesus said, on this rock, I'll build my church. And then even when Jesus came, when he rose again, he said, tell my disciples and Peter, right? So Jesus, you know, he could have said, all right, well, you deny me three times, you're cut off, that's it, no good. You know, I mean, I think Dave was even speaking about this yesterday, like most churches wouldn't even have had a Peter on their board because he, you know, denied God three times. You know, you would not want, you know, a person who's denying Jesus to you know, he's not strong enough believer. Well, that's not the way God sees things. And again, if Peter was not open to continue to grow and to realize that I made a mistake and now I know, you know, and I need to get back on track with God. And we all do these things. And if we just let, when we make a mistake, and we're going to make mistakes, it just throw us off. We're not going to be able to become the person that God wants us to be. And God is in the restoration business. And I think these things are even good for Peter. I bet you because of that experience of Peter, he had so much more grace with other people, right? Because he denied the Lord three times. Even he said, I'll go to death, you know, before I do anything like that, God. So, progress, not perfection. So there's a process, you know, it's as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So, you know, we start out as babies, and babies make mistakes. I heard Steve Backlund give the example of a baby when it's first starting to walk and it falls down. You know, we're like, what's the matter with you? Why can't you walk? Why don't you, you know, you get back up, and then slowly the baby starts learning how to walk, and then the baby is running. And, you know, the same thing happens when we're believers. We start slowly and we grow, right? And we get stronger and stronger in God. Delighting in the Lord. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Does anybody here delight in the Lord? Do you? Yeah, I mean, do you think God is good? Yes. I mean, we just sang about it, right? Yeah, very good. You got your hand up. God is good. And you know what it says in the Bible? He said, when you delight yourself in the Lord, he gives you the desires of your heart. So what are the desires of your heart today? You know, we desire to get closer to God, but we also have desires for ourselves, you know, for our lives, right? For moving forward in life, for getting a job, or for doing good in school, right? If you want to do good in school, you ask God to help you. He'll give you the desire of your heart. Now, you got to do your part. I was talking to somebody yesterday who had done an amazing thing with the ministry. Carolyn, right? She spoke yesterday. She started this whole ministry in Patterson. And, you know, she was saying, well, it's all God. And I said, well, you know, the way I look at it is everything you do is like 99% God and 1% you. But there's still a 1% you. You know, you have to do something too. So, and you have to invest your time as well. So you can't just say, I want to do good in school and never study, right? You have to do your part. And you say, God, help me to remember everything that I studied before you take your test, right? So delight yourself in God. And, you know, that's part of the process too, that you have to move on. God is a completer. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So any work that's been started in every one of us, God is able to complete it. And we, as long as we allow it and don't let our thinking and our wrong patterns of thinking get in the way of what God wants to do in each of our lives. Glory, living from glory to glory. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord continues. So we grow from glory to glory. It even says in another part in the Bible, from strength to strength, right? But in between those, sometimes there's setbacks, right? But we have to build on those setbacks, and we have to not let them knock us off the rails. So a lot of times people with addictions or whatever, they'll be doing great. They'll even be doing great for years, we've heard about it. And then there'll be some trigger, and they'll go back. And then after they go back, they figure they failed, and then they just go all in, and the addiction overcomes them completely, and they are not able to get back on track, right? This is part of not you know, believing God's word and not saying, I need to, I can get better, and I got to trust God, and I will be able to get better. I made a mistake, I fell back, but I'm going to get back on track, and I'm going to keep on going in the right way. Part of being a believer is building spiritual muscles, right? So spiritual muscles, the same way when you go to a gym, you do exercise, you're not going to get muscles by working out once. You're not going to get it by working out a couple times a week for the first week. It's going to take, you know, a continued pattern. And the same thing goes with a believer. You have to continually build your spiritual muscles. Here it says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, if we're always looking back, we're never going to go forward. If you look back, you're really not believing God's word. If you made mistakes, and we all have, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible tells us, right? But it also says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It also says that when you ask for forgiveness, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's removed your sins from you. So if you're constantly saying, well, I messed up big time, you know, years ago, you're not believing, and you keep on rehashing that, and you keep on believing that, that's not believing God's word. And what you're doing is you're rehashing the past and you're allowing Satan to, you know, write them back on the chalkboard when God erased it already. You're giving him permission to do that. And God erased everything, right? And you're whiter than snow, it says. So do you believe that? You know, do you believe that? Then you can't keep on going back. You have to go forward and you have to build that spiritual muscle. And, you know, part of that is really how you think. So, you know, most self-speak, when you think about yourself, is negative. Oh, I should be, I should be further along than I am now. Or, you know, I messed up. I should be, you know, better than what I am now. Or I wish I didn't look like this. Or, you know, I mean, or whatever. Just you know what your, you know, issues are, right? What you think about. But it says here in Romans 10:10, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. We all believe that, right? When you say, when you ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, he comes in and you confess with your mouth and you become a new creature, a believer, right? That's true, right? So before you did that, you weren't a believer. When you speak it, you become a believer. Same thing goes when it comes to spiritual growth. You speak something before it happens. Do you believe that, you know, something supernatural happened to you this morning, even through worship, by getting closer to God? You know, things are happening even when you might not feel it. Things are happening as long as you're doing the right stuff. Digging up the past and remembering past sins, not helpful, right? Not a good thing to do. Don't do that. And when it comes into your mind, just knock it out. Another thing that I heard that's really helpful, we all get like negative thoughts come into our minds. I mean, everybody does. And, you know, when that comes into your mind, I remember hearing someone teach on this, and he said, say to yourself, I'm surprised that I have that thought as a believer. I'm surprised that that's not from God. And, you know, then you just move on. I'm surprised that's in my mind. And, you know, not that, oh, wow, why am I thinking this, and beat yourself up. I mean, did you ever watch the movies where they some of the Christians way back in the day, they would beat themselves, like if they sinned, you know, like physically beat themselves. But we do that in our mind. You know, where we physically beat ourselves or mentally beat ourselves up because we made a mistake. That's not what God wants. God wants us to continue to go forward and believe his word and to speak positive things over ourselves. It's okay to make mistakes as long as you're moving forward. Cheryl Price said that yesterday. Cheryl's, you know, someone who visits here. You know, we all make mistakes. And even like as a church, if we might try something, you know, we're trying to pancake breakfast next week. You know, we've done it a couple times. We're hoping that lots of people will come and it'll be a reach out. Also, there was another great man said this saying yesterday. be good at what God has given you. You know, of course, I'm busting Dave a little bit about this, our senior founder pastor of the Most High. We have a little going joke about that type of stuff. But it's a true saying. You know, I can't be you. You can't be me. Dave's gifts are not my gifts. My gifts are not your gifts. Everybody's different. And if you look at people and you say, oh, I wish I was like, you know, so-and-so, you know, think of who it was, whoever it is, you know, I wish I was like that person, but you're not that person. You're you, and you're unique. Everybody has a separate DNA. Your fingerprints are all different. There's never been another person like you. There's never going to be another person like you, and your gifts and talents are yours. And what your job is to try to find that out, what they are, and then move forward in those gifts and talents and become the best you possibly can be with God is the best way for you to do that. Actually, it's the only way for you to be the best you. But it's okay to make mistakes, but you just can't beat yourself up and keep on going forward. So, you know, the Hall of Faith, Hebrews 11, I just want to, you know, think about this. I mean, we think about all these people were perfect, but I highlighted a couple of them. I'm not going to like read all this, but Abraham, right? Abraham, the father of faith, right? The father of the nations, right? He messed up pretty bad. And, you know, he actually lied about his wife, Sarah, in Egypt and said, she's my sister. And Pharaoh almost like took her as one of his wives because of that lie. You know, even Sarah laughed when the angels told her that she was going to have a baby. You know, we think of these people like they're perfect people. And it says in this chapter 11, all these people were still living by faith when they died. So these are people that are really looked at from God's eyes as being, you know, the foundation for all of this that we're believing in and the whole new covenant that we have through Jesus Christ. Moses. So Moses, he delivered the people of Israel, right? I mean, that was pretty awesome. All those plagues and everything and Pharaoh, you know, let my people go type of thing. But he killed a man, right? Did you know that? Do you remember that? I mean, he was not a perfect guy, you know? And even when it was time for him to go back, he said, my speech isn't good enough. I can't do it, God. And he said, all right, well, let your brother Aaron speak for you. And even then, you know, he wasn't like you would think the guy that God really wanted him to be at that point in time. But Moses is another one. The prostitute Rahab was in a lineage of Jesus Christ. I mean, all right, do I have to say that was a good thing to be doing? I mean, so, you know, and this is in the Bible, a call out of the people who are instrumental for the faith, right? She was a prostitute and she's considered one of the most faithful people in our lineage, our spiritual lineage. Gideon was afraid. He was like hiding, and the angel called him mighty man of valor, and he's like hiding, and he had to like ask for God to confirm it so many times. Oh, if I'll put the fleece out, if it's wet, if the ground's dry, then I'll believe it. Then that wasn't even still good enough, and he had to go down there and actually listen to what the enemy was saying, and before he really believed, and then he did that crazy thing with all those other guys, and they got this big, big victory, right? But he wasn't a perfect guy either, you know? Samson, I mean, he had a pretty big problem with women, you know? I mean, look, and then, you know, he had to get captured, have his eyes bored out before at the very end he was able to do one last thing, and God gave him the strength. I mean, he's in the hall of faith here. David killed a man. David committed adultery. I mean, these are people who have made major league mistakes, right? Samuel too, with his children. He didn't raise his children right, and he allowed his children to do some pretty horrible things. So what did they have, though? You know, what did they have? You know, it's the same thing that we have. We have the ability to ask for forgiveness and to get back on track, right? They didn't just let the one mistake or the multiple mistakes throw them down, and they didn't beat themselves up. They kept on going on with God. They got picked up. Maybe it was somebody else helped them and encouraged them and brought them along, but they allowed God to do the work. So Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So what you think about yourself matters to God. Yesterday, a question, we were at this conference, right? And a question was asked is, who do you think you are? And the interesting thing is that they said that it's the same question that God and the devil are both asking you. Like the devil will say, who do you think you are? Like that. And that will like say, oh, I'm nobody. I can't really encourage anybody to follow God. I can't really do anything. And Jesus would say, who do you think you are? Or who are you? You know, And what his answer would be, I'm a son, I'm a daughter, I'm the one that you love, I'm the one who you died for on the cross and shed your blood to cleanse me, and I'm the one who is whiter than snow because I've asked for forgiveness, and I'm the one that you want to use to make the world a better place, you know, by drawing them into you. That's you know, who you think about in your mind, who you think you are, is huge in life. Are you trying to receive things by feelings instead of faith? This is a really big concept to get that goes along with this whole I'm not good enough type of thing. But you must believe you're being touched powerfully even if you feel nothing. Like in the worship, right? Some people said they saw angels today. I have never seen an angel, right? I want to see an angel. But, you know, I believe God moved in that, you know, on me when I was, I mean, I felt the Lord moving when we were singing and everything. But you got to believe that things are happening, and because when you're worshiping God, good things happen, and your mindsets are getting changed. But if you just want to wait for feelings, I don't feel it, you'll never do anything. It'll handcuff you from going forward in being the person that God wants you to be. If you believe, then the feelings, experiences, and encounters will come. So Steve Backlund said these things. You have to believe that God's doing the work even when you don't feel it, because it's true. And even as it says, confessing who you are before you even feel it is a way to grow spiritually. So you don't have to be perfect to move ahead in God, right? I took this out of Victorious Mindset's book, which I think is one of the best books I've ever read by Steve Backlund. So I'm just going to read this real quick about some of the people already that were in Hebrews 11, but Abraham was too old, Isaac was a daydreamer, Jacob was a liar, Joseph was abused, Moses had a stuttering problem, Gideon was afraid, Rahab was a prostitute, Jeremiah and Timothy were too young, David had an affair and was a murderer, Elijah was suicidal, Jonah ran from God, Naomi was a widow, Job went bankrupt, Peter denied Christ 3 times, the disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. And Lazarus was dead. So, you know, I mean, all right, can you relate with any one of these type of things? All right, so are you disqualified from being able to move forward in God? Are you disqualified from being able to share with somebody at work, on the street, in the store, in school? Are you disqualified at all? No, you're not. And when you make mistakes, you have to get beyond those things, and you cannot let the desire of or the feelings of not being good enough get in the way of progress, that spiritual progress that God wants you to make. So, stop waiting until things are just right before you move. This is really an amazing thought, right? I mean, if you wait for everything to line up perfectly, you'll never get there. You ever hear this saying, analysis paralysis, right? It happens at work, you know, there's all different types of people, and we need everybody, but, you know, you need all these types of points of view, but if you perfect is the enemy of good. So whatever you're thinking about doing in life that's going to be positive for you, getting a degree. Yesterday, we were talking to a young man, right, who is pursuing a degree, right? And this is also a pretty interesting thing. So I'm like, well, what do you want to do with that? He's like, well, I want to go into cybersecurity, right? Computer security, something like that. And I'm like, oh, why? You really like doing that stuff? He goes, no, it's because I'm going to make a lot of money doing it. I'm like, well, that might not be the best reason for pursuing that, because if you're not going to be happy with that, I mean, God gave us all abilities and talents and desires inside of your heart. And those are the type of things that you have to try to pursue, not just something that's going to make you a lot of money, because you're going to be, you know, open up the door for being totally stressed out and trying to work your way up to that. For what end? You know, a really bad thing that we have to stop doing is comparing ourselves to others. As I mentioned, that made that point earlier. You're you, and you have to become the best you possibly can. And you know what? You're going in the right direction. So Look to somebody near next to you and say, you're going in the right direction. You're making progress. You're making progress. You're pretty good. So I really like this. Become a prisoner of hope. You ever hear that before? A prisoner of hope. You could be a prisoner of, I'm not good enough, chain yourself up, or you could be a prisoner of hope. I want my shackles to be to hope. Zechariah 9:12 says, as for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the wordless pit. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now, I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. So God's going to give you double. You want double today?
Yes.
God's going to bless you double. Whatever you need, he's going to give you double. Believe it. You know, what you say matters, and how you speak in your own mind matters about yourself. Proverbs says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So how do you think about you? Just take a moment and think about that. What do you think about yourself? Do you think that you're a child of God? Do you think that you're on the right track, right? You might not be perfect. Nobody is. We made those points today. But are you making progress? Are you going forward? And are you thinking that you're God's child, or are you thinking you're not good enough? So let's all stand up, and we're going to end with a couple declarations. And then I'll say a prayer, and then you guys can have a good rest of the day. Okay, let's say these things together. I am a prisoner of hope. All right, together. Every area of my life is filled with hope. I live by faith, not feelings. I am getting better every day. I celebrate progress, not perfection.